This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that you know each individual that's being prayed for now. Lord, we thank you that you know every heart. We thank you, God, that right now as we call on your name, that you are faithful to impact every one of these hearts, every situation. Thank you that your arm is not too short, as your word says, to heal and to save and to deliver to the uttermost, God. Thank you, God, that as we call on your name, that you are the author of salvation, Lord. We call on your name as healer, Lord, as savior, as deliverer. We call on your name as the one that restores and renews and recreates, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we pray, Father, that your grace would abound toward each one. Thank you that you are so good and so faithful to finish the good work that you've started in every one of these lives, God. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence, Lord. We thank you that we can consecrate ourselves to you, Lord. Our hearts and minds, Lord, and every part of who we are. We say, Lord, right now in this place, be glorified in us and through us. Right now, right here, Lord, we ask that you would transform us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Let your name be lifted up in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. We're gonna take a moment to worship God with our giving. Just do this, part of our worship to God. If you're visiting, don't feel obliged to give at all. Just a blessing having you here. We had such a wonderful time at our camp this weekend. Really a blessed time. Thanks so much to everybody who made it a great blessing and a great time together. There was just some moments in worship. And just personally, just experiencing the presence of God and just in a really, really special way. And just fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing. Kids also enjoyed it. I was asking them what was the best thing of the weekend. David said the pudding was definitely right up there. Emily was a bit indecisive. She couldn't say what exactly was the best thing. She's really a bit of a madam, Emily. She's two, and she's really keen to be involved in what's going on. She always wants to be part of the conversation, even sometimes though she hasn't got a clue what's going on. And when we're praying also, she's very keen to pray. So often when we finish with the scripture and we want to pray, then that she says she wants to pray. And that's okay. She always thanks, she says, "Thank you, Jesus, for your lucky day." And then she goes on and she has this list. She thanks the Lord for the dog and for mom and dad and for brothers and sisters. And then often she says thanks for the food as well, although we're not going to be eating anything. She thanks God for the food as well. It's funny though, because she still can't say the K. She doesn't say the K so well. She does say it in some words, but others she doesn't. So she often talks about lakatos. Yeah, so she's like, "Thank you for the lakatos." Instead of course, in any case. David, when he prays, is a bit, him and Emily sometimes get, have a bit of conflict. So he often prays and he thanks God for his mom and his dad and Abby. And then he skips Emily. Yeah. These are spritz. In any case, it's funny. And then I stopped the prayer and said, no. Any case. It's a blessing to be here. Thanks, y'all. If you missed out on the camp this year, I want to really encourage you to join us next time. It was really special. But yeah, what a blessing. It's good to be here. Got something on my heart that I trust it's going to be a blessing to us. Now, when we, in our walk with God, in our as we follow God, as we follow Christ, you may have noticed this. Sometimes early on, it's more noticeable, although I don't think it will ever probably stop as long as we're pursuing God. But what we notice is that as there's transformation happening in our hearts, as the kingdom of God is advancing in our lives, there's something pushing back, there's resistance. And if you think of a battle situation, if there's one kingdom that is advancing and taking ground, pushing back the enemy and advancing and gaining territory, there's another kingdom that has to retreat. There's another kingdom that has to give way. But it very rarely happens without resistance. There's resistance and there's an opposing kingdom. So in life, we have two kingdoms at war against each other. We have the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. We have God's kingdom coming in and through our lives, and we have the kingdom of darkness that has to retreat. Amen? And you may have noticed this, that in your own life, there's some things that, you know, I'm not saying we must blame everything on the devil, all right? So some of us like to do that. You have a flat tire, or if you didn't plan for, or didn't study enough, you know, the devil. But I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes we recognize that, wow, there's a spiritual dynamic in terms of stuff that's happening in our lives. Just one example, when we were newly married, Adam and I, we were planting a church in Johannesburg, and we found there's a pattern that every Sunday morning, we might have had a wonderful weekend and everything is amazing, and then Sunday morning, on the way to church, we would get in an argument. And I was still obviously new in ministry, you know, so I had to focus extra hard on the whole preaching thing, you know. So this is time that we to be at peace, you know, and focusing on the Lord and receiving extra extra impartation. And now we will be just arguing in the car, you know, and it would like be big sparks and, you know, chaos. And then we'd arrive at church, and then we'd have to be all blessed and friendly, and, you know, it's like amazing, the Lord is good, and meantime, you're like, you know. but yeah, we recognize that there's a pattern, and we recognize, wow, there's a kingdom that's resisting the kingdom of God coming through our lives. And that's a funny example, but often we'll see that, and to a point actually where if I don't feel a bit of resistance, I've asked some questions. Is it a bit quiet now in my life? Am I stepping on the devil's toes? Or am I not going anywhere? Just throwing that out there. If there's not a bit of healthy pushing back from the enemy, maybe you're not pushing against. Just saying. In any case. I'm not saying go look for it. So we are aware of the other kingdom. We are aware of the kingdom of darkness. And Scripture mentions this in a couple of ways. But one of the key ways that we experience the battle is in our thoughts and in our minds. That is one of the main ways how the enemy is able to try and actually gain back some ground or try and get to us. By deception, lies, all kinds of thoughts that he throws at us. And if we are not aware of this, if we're not sharp and aware of the battle that's happening in our minds and our thoughts, and we're going to struggle to go anywhere. So Let's have a look quickly at this first scripture from Revelation chapter 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Speaks of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. And then he speaks of the accuser of our brethren. That's his other name, is the accuser, right? The accuser of the brethren. He's accusing us day and night before God and accusing us in our own minds. And then 1 Peter 5 also, from verse 8, there, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," we have an adversary, the devil, "walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion." This is the reality, guys. This adversary that we have is only interested to destroy and to kill and to steal. That's his job. He's only interested to accuse. He's coming against us and he's already lost, right? Okay, he's already lost at the cross. Christ has won the victory. But there's a big dynamic, there's a place where we need to walk in advance and claim the ground, claim the territory that has already been won. We have to occupy that land. And a lot of that battle happens right here and in our hearts. So, can you imagine if the enemy, if this adversary, the accuser, is able to immobilize the army of God, us, with fear, intimidation, with depression, with guilt, with shame, with so many things that he uses, condemnation. Hasn't he won? Hasn't he done his job? If you and I are immobilized, if we are find ourselves paralyzed in our fear, or in our guilt, or in our shame, or in our condemnation, then he's actually done his job pretty well, because we are not going forward. Are you with me? I've seen this in my own life. I remember times where I was so full of guilt and shame and condemnation, I can't even pray, can't go to church, feel like I can't go to church, feel like I can't even go to God in prayer. I'm so under shame and guilt and condemnation, I realize, you know what, I'm paralyzed. I'm not going anywhere. Then the kingdom of God is not coming in my life. Are you with me? Then he's done his job well. I'm not advancing. I'm not gaining ground. In fact, I'm going nowhere slowly. So I start there because if we are not aware of this dynamic, we're not going to really see the kingdom of God coming in and through our lives. So we have an adversary, we have an accuser, and he's doing this day and night. That's the bad news, all right? The good news is coming, don't worry. But I'm reminded of a lady that we were ministering to years ago, and she shared with me one day, she said, she's been wrestling with something for a while, but she really feels this is fine with God. And what she was talking about, she was wanting to go into an immoral relationship. She was planning to move in with another lady, and she was having peace with this, and she kind of prayed about it, and she felt it's all good. We spent some time with her working through it, and we looked at the scriptures, and looking at what God was saying about it and praying with her. But I remember so vividly the picture that God showed me. And he showed me a picture of this lady walking down a path, And she showed me that there's a lion that wants to tear her limb from limb. And she's not seeing it. She's walking confidently. And she's not aware of this danger that's about to completely destroy her life. And often I feel we operate like that. And praise the Lord, by absolute miracle, He turned the whole situation around. But I feel, I don't know why, I just feel I need to just share about this a little bit more. But guys, there's a place where we can't play with sin. Enemy is not playing games. Enemy is not playing games. It might feel, oh, this is fine, this everybody's doing it, or this is fine, or this porn is not really having an effect on my life. The scripture says, when you and I take fire into our laps, how can we not be burnt? Scripture says, if we play with stuff like that, actually, I just read it this afternoon, it says, you are destroying your own soul. This is not part of my message, but I just feel I need, maybe this is for somebody. That there's a place where we, if we persist in something, that we create a cycle of destruction that doesn't bring us closer to God, but away from Him. Amen. And God is not intimidated by our sin, but if we choose again and again to stay in a cycle of sin, we actually harden our hearts. And we numb ourselves. We don't hear the conviction. We don't hear the Holy Spirit anymore. It's difficult to come back. It's difficult. We find it. The invitation is there. God is there. His grace is there. The blood of Christ is there. But it's as if we struggle more and more to draw near to Him. And I just want to encourage us this evening. If you're finding yourself in a destructive circle like that, don't play with the devil. His only purpose is to destroy your soul. His only purpose is to kill and to steal and destroy. Amen? I want to just agree also with what Christoph was sharing. We need people around us. Like, praise the Lord, that lady came to us. And we were able to work with her through the whole thing. And she humbled herself and she came and spoke to us, and she was willing to receive from us. But if it wasn't for that, I'm I shudder to think. And I really, really encourage you, have people in your life that you can go to that can tell you the difficult things, like Christopher was saying. Now often we think, you know, that my bestie, I hear these terms, that friend that I can go to, I can just be myself, you know, we can just, you know, I can vent a little bit, I can just, you know, that isn't that a nice friend to have, somebody that you can just be yourself, and you can just vent, and you can just have a pity party, and you both just feel better, isn't it? You're like, oh, I love you so much, because you just allow me to be myself, and yeah, a bit fuzzy and a bit, you know, it's like a, but I don't know, I just want to throw something out there. We might have friends like that, but those are not the best friends. The best friends are those that say, listen, it's now blessed for you to be yourself, but actually your purpose is to be more like Christ. And if I allow you to just continue to be yourself, you're going to go to destruction. So I'm going to not allow you to sit in this pit. I'm going to pull you out by the hair, give you a few slaps, and say, let's follow Jesus. Okay? I'm not going to get into the pity party with you. Okay, maybe, but that's not comfortable, is it? Having a friend tells you, listen, you shouldn't watch porn every night. It's going to destroy your soul. Okay, taking that guy off my contact list. But those are the guys that, the friends we need, amen? Somebody that loves us enough to say, listen, why are you sitting in this pit? Just get over it. Get out of there. We're following Jesus. I don't know, maybe that's for somebody here this evening. trust God for friends like that, that love you enough, that love me enough to tell us the difficult things. Amen. Tell us, listen, there's a destroyer, there's an enemy, there's an adversary, and you're not seeing him, but I can see him. The way you're going, you're gonna get seriously burnt. Are you with me this evening? And the other side of the coin, that are we, as Christopher was saying, are we that friend? Are we that friend that's willing to say, listen, I might be putting our friendship on the line here, but I love you, man. Don't do that. Don't go into that relationship. Don't move in with that guy or that girl. You're going to burn yourself. You're going to destroy your own soul. Okay, shall we get back to the message? Amen. That's for free. And take that home. Be sober. Be vigilant. Praise God for friends like that. Okay, so we have an adversary. We have somebody that's coming against us. We have an accuser that's coming. It's accusing us and coming against us day and night. But here's the good news. We have an advocate. If you think of a courtroom situation, you know, the God, the Father is the judge. We've got the accuser. But then, we've got somebody in our corner as well. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's the best lawyer you can have. But we do stupid things sometimes. Sometimes we listen more to the accuser. We listen to him all day and we don't pay attention to what our advocate is saying. Okay, we're going to get into that a bit later. In the Old Testament times, we see the priestly order that God instituted. We see a high priest that represents the people of God before God. And various ways and various things and stuff around atoning for sin. But specifically once a year, going into the holiest of holies in the temple, into the presence of God where the Ark of the Covenant was, and making atonement for the sins of the nation before God, representing the nation before God, right? And in the book of Hebrews, we see the writer to the Hebrews taking a lot of things from the Old Testament and explaining to the Hebrews why Christ has come to fulfill, why Christ is so much more and so much better and so much a fulfillment, so much greater than what they've experienced in the past. So he's saying Christ is better than the angels. Christ is a great high priest. And you must actually read through it from that perspective. It's really encouraging. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 from 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That's a rest of repentance and receiving forgiveness from God, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And he's referring to something he was talking about earlier, about the nation of Israel going in circles in the wilderness after being disobedient. And he says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, to the end of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Okay, this is a bit of a scary one. God knows everything. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. He knows the words that are going to come out of our mouth before we say them. He knows the deepest thoughts. He knows the stuff about ourselves that we don't even know ourselves. Now, guys, let's just be honest. If everybody in this room knew everybody else's thoughts and hearts, that would be awkward. You agree? That would not be cool, all right? In fact, you know, if somebody was able to read our minds and thoughts, and in the worldly sense, there would be a lot of embarrassment happening, all right? No, yes, a little bit awkwardness. Okay, so, and we see here that we are completely exposed. We are completely open and naked to God. He knows everything. He knows our deepest hearts. He knows that guilt and shame that we're wrestling. He knows that stuff from our past. He knows the heaviness. He knows the depression. He knows even our secret, the most secret sins. He knows. He knows the joys as well. He knows the good things. He knows the ugly things. He knows all of it. And he's the one that we have to give an account to. That's hectic. Amen. So there's, in a worldly sense, there might be an embarrassment. There might be awkwardness. There might be shame. But I want us to read a bit further, because with God, it's not like that. Let's look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The high priest that we have, the one that represents us before the Father, he knows everything that's going on in our hearts. And he's not intimidated by that. He knows the shame and the guilt. He knows the wrestling. He knows the war that's going on in the inside. And he receives us all the same. And not only that, he says, this high priest that we have, the great high priest, he can actually empathize with us. He's not afar off. He's not a cold, distant judge. He's someone that can identify and sympathize and empathize with every single thing that you and I face. He knows. And then he says, therefore, come boldly. Come to me. Come to the throne of grace. You know, often we find ourselves in situations where, I don't know if it's you, maybe it's not just me. You know, you find yourself in a situation where you're thinking, you know what, nobody understands what I'm going through right now. You know, this is deep. And it hurts at a place. I don't even want to talk about somebody because they won't understand. And we also go down the pity party thing again. But, and we want to isolate ourselves. But God says, he says, the high priest, Jesus Christ, he knows. He's been tempted. He's gone through it. He's wrestled through stuff. Everything you and I can face, he's worked through. Amen? He's been tempted in every way. He can actually sympathize and empathize what you and I are facing. And he says, come boldly. And boldly, in this, yeah, I believe means bring the good, the bad, and the ugly. Bring it all. Isn't it weird how we sometimes want to dress up our condition before we come to God? Lord, I want to sort this thing out. Just give me a day or two. I want to just sort this stuff out, and then I'm going to have quiet time again. Or I just want to take a break from church for a week or two. Or, you know, you hear somebody that's going through a really rough time and they say, listen, I can't make it to church or small group right now. I'm just dealing with some things. I'm like, that makes no sense. That's upside down. If you're going through a rough time, you should be more at church and small group. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He says, listen, go and sort yourself out there in the corner. And that's when he's got us there, he's happy. Because we isolate ourselves. And we don't only do it from God's people. We don't isolate it. We isolate ourselves from God. We feel, Lord, I can't bring this to you. I'm so full of shame and guilt. I need to try and sort this out. And then I'll come back. God says, no. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Bring the bad stuff. Bring the ugly stuff. Bring the emotions. Bring the anger. If you're angry with God, come boldly. If you're full of resentment about something, if you disappointed in God or if you offended with God, he says, come, bring it. Come boldly. Don't make it look nice. Don't dress it up. I remember doing internship at Shofar in Stellenbosch, and we had this blue bucky that we did a lot. We moved sound equipment around with. We did a lot of setting up there, a lot of sound equipment being driven around and stuff at all times of the day. And I remember we were setting up for Bible school or something. We'd packed the bucky, and we were a little bit late, and I was driving, and I reversed, and then this tree jumped out of nowhere. I don't know where it came from, but suddenly it was there, and I greeted the tree with the backside of the bucky. Any case, so we had luckily not a massive smash, but enough to damage the rear. And I had to tell Pastor Sias about this, and it was a bit of an awkward conversation, you know. But you know how you're trying to make it sound better than it is, you know. yeah, you know. But the reality is there. You can see it, you know. I can say what I want, but the reality is you can see the damage. It's the same with God. We try to dress up our situation. We try to make it look nice. We try to justify what we're about to do, like this lady we were ministering to. We try to make it look pretty and better than it is. God says, no, man, just come. Come boldly. Bring all of it. Bring the good, the bad, and the ugly. And come boldly to receive grace and receive mercy. Amen. Come and approach boldly the throne of grace. The thing about our faith in our high priest, the thing about our faith in Jesus is that our faith in general, if we think about faiths across the world and just different ways people believe, there's one very key difference. You know, I remember in India ministering to guys there. There's lots of gods, lots of stuff happening. I don't know how they keep track. But I spoke to a few guys and they were saying, but listen, this and this happened in my life, these good things. The gods have been, you know, favorable to me. Or other way around, you know, I've got all this stuff happening, this negative stuff, so I need to work at this. I need to do stuff to please the gods so that good things can start happening to me. So they take the circumstance as in if good circumstances mean, okay, I'm in a good space, God's like me. Bad circumstances mean I must make a plan because they don't like me at this point, okay? But the difference with us, and many of faith work like that, there's something that we need to, you know, men trying to fix something, trying to work at something so that they can attain a place where they are in a good space with whatever they are worshiping. Amen? But our faith is different. Our faith is based on a loving God that sent his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, I want to take your sin on myself. I want to go in your place. And I will do everything that's necessary to reconcile you to the Father. And this is not something somebody made up. This is a historical fact. A person that lived in history. Our faith is based on the person of Jesus Christ that lived in history. His life is recorded in believers and non-believers' accounts of history. He lived and died. His death was recorded by many eyewitnesses. His resurrection was recorded by hundreds. It was seen by hundreds and recorded by eyewitnesses. Amen. Our faith is not based on whether it's going well with me or not. Our faith is not based on whether it's raining or not raining. Our faith does not change when our circumstances change. In fact, you know, I'm so encouraged when we hear testimonies of the power of God. I mean, we hear testimonies like what Jock shared, and it builds our faith. Amen. It encourages us. You know, we have testimonies of healings, and we have those. We have stories of, I've seen blind eyes open, I've seen deaf ears hear, I've seen people have babies that aren't supposed to have babies. You know, I've seen people speak and hear for the first time. It's amazing. And those things encourage us. But what has challenged my faith the most and what has encouraged me the most is when things go wrong and people still believe. When things go terribly wrong and things feel like they, and prayers do not get answered. I remember this weekend we watched the account of the guys that were reaching out to the Alka tribe, and they, like five young men, most of them married with children, reaching out to this Stone Age tribe that had never heard the gospel. You know, going there with an urgency to share the gospel, and all of them, every single one, was murdered. And they were willing to lay down their lives. They knew the dangers. But you know what got me the most is that the families of those that died continued the work. In fact, one of the wives of one of the murdered missionaries went with her children and lived there and ministered to those people. Isn't that real faith? When things go very pear-shaped, and they could go like we didn't think they would go, but then we're still obedient to the call of God. We're still willing to lay down our lives. We're still willing to follow His call. And it's a powerful testimony of redemption where the people that actually murdered those guys come to salvation. Where the son of one of the murdered guys calls his dad's killer grandfather. Where the families had such a conviction of the call of God that they continued the work even after this horrific thing happened. That's faith, isn't it? When circumstances are against us, that we say, but God is still good, because my circumstances do not determine my faith. My faith is not built on that. Amen? I remember a powerful testimony of a couple that I know. They were expecting a child, and you know the whole process, it's beautiful. There's such an expectation, there's baby showers and there's prayers and there's blessings and there's celebrations happening. And then in the labor ward, they got the news that the little one is stillborn. And after all of that faith and expectation and joy and celebration, now they're facing the reality. And I wasn't present, but a friend of mine was, and he says that what really just impacted him is that in that moment of the most indescribable grief, and as a parent, I don't even want to go there in my thoughts. I don't even want to try and imagine. But right there, one of the guys, they got a word, and he says he feels God is saying, now is the time to worship. And he says, he saw this couple go down on their knees and worship God. So it's in those moments that real faith is shown. Amen. When things do not go the way we hoped, when things do not go the way we planned, because our faith is not based on whether it's raining or not raining, whether it's going well with the economy or not. Our faith is based on Jesus Christ and what He has done. And His goodness remains in the good and the bad. We have Him as our high priest. We have Him. He does not change. You know, you get fair weather friends. You get friends that are close to you when you're rolling in it. And then the other day, when you don't have a job, then they disappear. You know? Jesus is not like that. He stays with us. He's with us. His love remains. His faithfulness remains. He's the one that's our advocate before the Father. Can you imagine having an advocate, a lawyer that doesn't pitch to court? That's awkward, right? But we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody that is day and night interceding for us before the Father. Day and night, Scripture says. And his invitation is this. He says, I can sympathize with what you're going through. Even if no human being can, I can. And I understand. And I want you to boldly come. In other words, bring your shame, bring your guilt, bring your sin, bring your depression, bring your porn addiction, bring all that stuff and boldly come to the throne of grace so that you may receive mercy and grace. And his promise and his assurance to us is he says that when we boldly come, because the thing is, guys, humbling, coming to the throne of grace means it's a place of humbling ourselves. It's a place of saying, Lord, I need you in my situation. I need an advocate. I need a high priest. I need somebody. I need you to intercede on my behalf. And his assurance is that every single time you and I come, we will receive grace. Every time. Every time we come, we will receive mercy. Mercy means that God withholds from us what we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve to pay for our sin. We deserve to... Scripture says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. And mercy means that through the blood of Jesus, God says, I will withhold judgment. That's mercy. What mercy also means is that he intercedes on our behalf. That's how the judgment is withheld, that there's somebody that's paid on our behalf. And not only that, that he urgently intercedes on our behalf before the Father. Isn't that incredible? Now, I understand that, you know, when I'm appealing to somebody on behalf of my children, or, you know, whether it be a teacher or whoever it may be, I'm doing it urgently, not because of the size of the issue or the problem or the situation, but because they are my children. Amen? I will fight for them. I will go to length for them. That's crazy. And God is the same. He intercedes for you and I urgently before the Father. Not because of the size of your issue or the size of your challenge or the urgency of it, but because he loves you. And because he's paid the price for you already. He urgently intercedes for you. He's standing in on your behalf. And he's saying, boldly come. Come. Come with all that shame and guilt. Come with all that condemnation. Come with all the baggage of the past. Things falling asleep. You know, sometimes one of the key gifts of a pastor is the poker face. You know that? Yeah, and another thing that God has blessed me with is I honestly believe the best of people. And so sometimes when people share stuff with me, I have to just tell my face, just relax, you know, poker face, just stay. Because I was like, what? What did you do? Say that again. Did I hear you right? You know, there's like, so that's a really good skill for a pastor to have. It's just just keep the face the same. So don't try and test that, please. But God is not like that. God's not like that. God doesn't need a poker face because his love covers a multitude of sin. And he receives us just the way we are. He's not intimidated. You know, there's sometimes the enemy tries to convince us, you know, this time, you know, you've received God's forgiveness and grace in the past, but this time, you've gone too far. And he tries to convince us that this time, we've stretched beyond the grace of God. But It's a lie on the pit of the hell. Amen. There's nothing that's beyond the grace of God. There's nothing that's beyond His love, His forgiveness. I ask to read from Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. His mercies, some translations say His mercies are new every morning. Guys, this is a big scripture in my life. His mercies are new every morning. He's a clean slate. There's new grace. There's new mercy. Boldly come. You know, sometimes we live like, oh, you know what, yesterday I went into credit. You know, I went into minus. I took up so much grace that today I'm starting in the negative. Eh? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? He says, no, my mercies are new every morning. Boldly come to the throne of grace. Don't isolate yourself. Don't run away from God. Don't close your heart. Boldly approach. Boldly come and receive the grace that He has for you. Receive mercy. Receive His provision for your situation. So we receive mercy and we receive grace. Grace is, so mercy is withholding when He withholds from us what we do deserve. Grace is when He lavishes on us what we don't deserve. His forgiveness, His love, His restoration, His healing. Everything that we do not deserve, He gives us. Amen? Sometimes when I look at my wife, I see the grace of God. Because I do not deserve it. Amen? In any way, it's just the grace of God. So many others, look at my children, and I think, oh, there's no way. This is just grace. He's lavishing on me what I do not deserve. His goodness and His faithfulness and His forgiveness and His fullness of life. We do not deserve. That's what we receive when we boldly come. Amen? We boldly come. Okay. Jeremiah 29, it's a very well-known one. We love it and we quote it. I just want to point out something towards the end here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And Gareth shared this yesterday, and I just felt this just ties in with what we're talking about. Was it on the camp? Not yesterday. It says, you will pray to me and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. So there's a few elements here, I believe, when he speaks of all your heart. He's speaking of a persistence and a pressing through and a continuing. But I also believe he's saying, all of who I am is seeking God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything I got, I'm seeking Him. I'm coming with all that I am. I'm coming with all the baggage. I'm coming with all the shame and the guilt. And I'm not trying to dress it up. I'm being honest with God. And I feel there's some here this evening that have just need to just, if you have anger in your heart towards God or bitterness, maybe you got hurt in church or maybe in a relationship with somebody that's supposed to be a Christian, and there's so much hurt and bitterness here, and you've got resentment towards God even. I just feel God is saying, come boldly. Don't pretend. Bring that boldly to the throne of grace. He says, I will be found by you if you seek me with all your heart, with everything that you have. So yes, there is a persistence there. Yes, there is a diligence there. But there's also an honesty, a realness. Amen? God is not into religion in terms of being fake and doing stuff just for the sake of doing it. That kind of religion. God is not into that. He invites us to boldly come. And he receives us and he meets us right there where we're at. Maybe what I was saying before, maybe if that's you this evening and you are in a cycle of destruction, I want to encourage you that you are not beyond the grace of God. And that his invitation this evening is to boldly come. To humble ourselves, to receive his mercy and his grace. And a part of that is going to mean to humble yourself before people as well. Not publicly like this necessarily, but I want to encourage you, if you're in a cycle like that, find somebody in your small group. If you're not in a small group, find a small group or speak to me afterwards. Find some believers that love you and care for you, and or you can come and speak to one of us. But part of that humbling ourselves is being accountable to somebody, saying, listen, this is my situation. I know God loves me. And I need somebody to walk with me to get out of this cycle. I need somebody to walk this road with me because I'm not getting out of it. And I realize I'm going to destroy my own soul. Amen? So if that's you this evening, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm saying there's an invitation to life. There's an invitation to healing. And there's an invitation to deliverance. There's an invitation to boldly come. Amen? He says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And every time we come, there's mercy. And every time we come, there's grace. And every time we come, there's an abundance of grace. Let's stand this evening. I'm going to pray. Oh, guys, I want to really encourage us, you know, it's in the tough times when God really shows himself faithful, amen? And some of you may know, my dad passed away in October. He had hectic cancer, really quick. But we prayed, and guys, I've seen people healed miraculously. I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen people healed of conditions they were born with. I've seen God do incredible miracles. And we prayed for my dad. We fasted. We trusted God. And he was not healed. But today, I'm more convinced. And I'm more sure of the goodness of God than ever before in my life. Because even in that storm and even in that crazy time, his goodness and his love and his compassion and his presence is what carried us through all that. And what I saw God do in my dad's life in those last months has got me so convinced that he's good. And he's a loving father. And yes, he didn't heal my dad. But I know he's a good God. He's not changed. It's sometimes in those times that we need to say, Lord, even when there's no fruit, I will still choose to worship you. Even when there's no evidence, it seems, even when I'm not able to see it, I know that you have not changed. Your goodness remains and your faithfulness remains. I choose to look to you. I choose to heed the invitation to boldly come and receive grace and receive mercy. Amen. You know, what I'm doing now is the dignified cry. You see, this is just the corner here, just the corner of the eye. Just wipe it. Have you seen the ugly cry? I hope you haven't seen me do that. Only God has seen that recently. But you know, I can do the ugly cry with God. Snot everywhere. Your body convulsing, you know. You're not completely in control. And you know, that's what God says. He says, come, bring that. Bring all those emotions. Bring all the pain and the disappointment. Bring the hurt. Bring the shame and the guilt. I want to wash you clean. I want to deliver you from the stuff the enemy is throwing at you. I want to deliver you of the lies that he's saying about you. I want to deliver you of the destruction he wants to wreak havoc in your thoughts. And this, I feel specifically in terms of identity. There's so many of us here that are under accusation about who we are. The enemy is saying, you will not get anywhere in life. The enemy is accusing you and he's coming against you and he's trying to intimidate you. He's bringing fear and doubt. And the Father wants to deliver you of that stuff. He wants to affirm you, say, you are my son, you are my daughter. I have good things in store for you. Boldly come. Bring those things. Bring the baggage. Bring the pain. Bring the ugly emotions. Bring the shame and the guilt. I want to make you free. You will receive every time you will receive grace. Every time. Let's pray. Hallelujah, God. We thank you. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, that you know each heart here. Thank you that you are not intimidated by the condition of our hearts. Often we are so ashamed, Lord, we are so ridden with guilt and fear of being rejected. We don't even want to talk to people because we're afraid of being rejected because of the condition of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you're not intimidated. Thank you, Lord, that you've already prepared the way. Thank you that you've already paid the price. You've already made provision. Thank you, Lord, this evening I want to expose the lie that there's stuff that's beyond the grace of God. And I declare in the name of Jesus that if we expose that lie in Jesus' name. And even right now, I feel there's somebody that's in your heart, you feel, I don't know, this might be great for some, but you don't know what I've been up to. You don't know what's in my past. You don't know where I come from. Surely that I can't come back from that. Surely that God is not able to forgive that. And right now, I expose that lie in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you say there's nothing that's beyond your grace. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for every hopeless situation. The blood of Christ is sufficient for every destructive cycle, for every cycle of depression, for every cycle of addiction. That the blood of Jesus is sufficient for you. And He's inviting you to boldly come. Boldly come. Run to Him. Boldly approach the throne of grace. Bring your burdens. Bring your cares. Bring the yokes of bondage. His anointing destroys the yoke. Every yoke of fear, every yoke of pain, every yoke of bitterness, the anointing of God destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. As every eye is closed in this place, if you're here this evening and you know in your heart of hearts that you are not right with God. You know, yes, maybe you have had a relationship with Him in the past. Maybe you haven't been around church, or maybe this is your first time in a church. And right now you know that you're not right with Him. Right now you know if you had to stand before the judge right now that you would be found guilty. You know that you are not right with Him. You know that you don't have a relationship with the Father. But if that's you this evening and you have a desire to accept the invitation to boldly come to the throne of grace, if you want to accept the invitation to say, Lord, I want to turn away from my sin and I want to follow you as Lord and Savior. I want to no longer be in charge of my own life. I want to declare tonight that you are my King and I want to follow you. I want to repent of my sin and I want to receive your gift of eternal life. If that's you this evening, as every eye is closed, won't you raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. I believe God is saying, come. Come to me. Boldly come. I have prepared the way for you. I know your heart. I've made provision for you. Is there anybody like that? Won't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? There's a battle going on in your heart right now. There's some wrestling with thoughts of guilt. Thank you for that hand. There's some that wrestling with accusations even right now. There's a battle going on in your head, in your heart. But the invitation is there to boldly come, to boldly draw near. Thank you for those hands. I want you to do a really bold thing, and I want you to take your things and step out from where you are. And I believe it's a step of faith saying, I'll step out of where I am, and I'll step into what God has prepared for me. I respond to the invitation to boldly come. Won't you step out from where you are and join me in the front here? If you've raised your hand, we just want to pray with you. Even if you haven't raised your hand, and you know you need to respond to the invitation to boldly come. Won't you just step out? This takes real guts. Thank you. That's great. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Amen. Well done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I want us to, guys, just to look at me for a moment. I want to just lead you in a prayer, because you stepping out means that you are boldly coming to the throne of grace and you're receiving His grace. Amen. So we're all going to pray together, and I want to pray, and I want you to follow after me, and I want everybody to join in. We're just going to accept that invitation. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you love me. This evening, Lord, I confess I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I've tried many things. And I need your grace, Lord. I repent of my sin. I choose to turn away from my old life. And I look to you, Lord. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, my Lord, my Savior, and God, that you have raised Him from the dead, that He has overcome sin and death. And right now, in Jesus' name, I receive your gift of salvation, Lord. I thank you that you set me free. I thank you that you make me new, Lord. Thank you for a clean slate. Thank you that you receive me just as I am. That you love me so much. That you don't leave me this way. Thank you for the Spirit in my life. Thank you for your protection. Your presence. Thank you that I can hear your voice. Thank you that you are my Father and I'm your child. And from this moment, I can have an absolute assurance that I have eternal life. Thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory and praise. Amen. We're going to ask some facilitators to come pray with these guys. It's just three important things, guys, that is to, these guys are going to be praying with you, and I want to encourage you to grow, to immerse yourself in the scriptures. If you're not in a small group, to trust God, to come into a place where you can have fellowship of believers, to pray, trust God, to grow in your prayer. The most important thing is to, part of your confession of what's happened this evening, is to tomorrow morning to tell three people what God has done in your life this evening. Amen. And these guys are going to be praying with you. If you can join us at an encounter, life encounter that's coming up, please do so. Praise God. They're just going to spend some time with you guys. Amen. If you're going to just live with them. And then I just want to make an invitation. The words that we shared earlier on before the message, and if God has been speaking to you about specific things that you need His grace about, that you need His grace for, then I wanted you just to come to the front right now. If you need to boldly come, if you need to be open with somebody, maybe just you've been wrestling through something, maybe it might not even be sin, it might be something else that you just want to boldly bring to the throne of grace. Maybe it's your studies, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's your family. Maybe you're in a cycle of destruction. I want you just right now to step out from where you are and come to the front, almost just as a declaration that, Lord, I step out from where I am and I want to bring this area of my life to you. I want to bring this care to you. I want to bring this yoke before you. So I'm just going to give an opportunity now, if that's you and you need prayer in an area like that, to just step out from where you are. Thank you. I have some facilitators also to come pray, please. Thank you. Just move to the sides a bit, guys. There. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, gonna need some more facilitators to pray, please. Okay, I'm gonna close the service now. If you wanna still spend some time in worship, please do that. Otherwise, please join us for some refreshments at the back. I'm just gonna pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive and it's powerful. And even this evening, thank you that it divides a bit. Between soul and spirit, between bone and marrow, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that as we just experience your conviction, that we can respond to what you're saying to us, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you even this week, Lord, that we would boldly come to you, Lord, in every situation, that we would receive new mercies every morning. God, in the name of Jesus, I come against every lie of the enemy, Lord, every accusation, every guilt and shame. And I pray even in the name of Jesus that you would sharpen our senses in the spirit, that we would discern every destructive lie, every destructive cycle, that you would show us, that you would open our eyes to see how the enemy is stealing and how is he destroying in our lives, God. That we would say it ends right here in the name of Jesus. I will no longer allow this in my life anymore. I will no longer allow lies in my thoughts anymore, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for an urgency in our hearts to resist the devil, Lord, in Jesus' name. To resist the lies, Lord. To resist the condemnation. To say this not of God, in Jesus' name. Lord, that we would no longer go bowed under shame and guilt, Lord. That thank you that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free, Lord, in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, I thank you for freedom in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you expose the lie. You expose the condemnation. You expose the shame and the guilt. And you bring healing. And you bring restoration. And you bring forgiveness. And you wash us clean, Lord. Thank you that you take every yoke. That as we cast our cares, that thank you, Lord, that you destroy every yoke in Jesus' name. I see right now that God is breaking chains. I see the people that have been bound by unforgiveness. If that's you, also come to the front. God is saying this unforgiveness is binding you to your past. Even though somebody has sinned against you it wasn't your fault, but if your unforgiveness is binding you to that thing and you cannot move forward. And right now, God is saying this grace this evening to break that chain of unforgiveness, to be free from that thing of your past and to move forward into what He has prepared for you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's faithful to finish the good work in us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Let your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. Let your glory manifest in our lives this week, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that's you this evening, if you want to pray with somebody, if you need to repent of unforgiveness, or you just feel there's something you need to just bring before God, why don't you join us in the front? Otherwise, thanks so much for being here. Enjoy some refreshments outside. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. If you're not in a small group, I want to really encourage you to at least visit one. If you're not in a small group, won't you just visit the info table and give your name there and somebody will call you. That's where accountability happens. I mean, that's where we pray for one another. That's where we encourage one another. So if you're not yet in a small group, won't you visit the info table? Just give your name and at least just visit one. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.